God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today we pick up the last petition of the Lord's Prayer, but deliver us from evil. Martin Luther explains this as, what does this mean? We pray in this petition that the sum of all, that our Father in heaven would deliver us from every evil of body and soul, property and honor, and finally, when our last hour comes, grants us a blessed end, and graciously take us from this veil of tears to himself in heaven. As sort of an introduction, we have to talk about evil. What is evil? Well, first of all, let me start with a couple of book series that I'm very fond of that personifies this very, very well. In our literature, we find sometimes it helps to sell books if there's this great evil that has to be overcome, the great antagonist that must be defeated. Needless to say, some of the books that I've been reading where this is the case, you have the Harry Potter series with Lord Voldemort. You have the Lord of the Rings with Sauron, and the ring must be destroyed in order for life to go on. Well, in one essence, the same is true even for Christianity. Even the Bible has the one great antagonist. And by the way, the Bible was written even before those two series and has sold more copies than those two series multiplied together. Just need to clarify that. The great antagonist here is Satan, the deceiver, the tempter, who, when Adam and Eve were in the garden and all of paradise was before them and everything was perfect, it was that tempter who came and tempted Adam and Eve to sin. And they did fall into sin. And after that event, the corruption of this earth takes place. The corruption of God's creation takes place. Sin has now permanently destroyed that, at least somewhat permanently. Because as any good book would tell you, once the antagonist has destroyed and has threatened, there's got to be that hope. And God gives us that hope right after the fall. As he says to Adam and Eve, a Savior will come who will deliver you from sin, death, and the devil. Just put your hope in that Savior. Now many years have passed, and sometimes we forget about the great antagonist. We're living in the 21st century, the western suburbs of Chicago. Everything seems to be going very well and dandy for us, but evil is still lurking. It is still out there. Now for some of us, we may have been exposed to evil once or twice in our lives. We may be going through what we consider evil times right now, but do we truly have the same ideal of what evil is? Because through the years, we may lose track of what the true evil actually is. So when we think of evil, is the first thought that comes to our mind sin, death, and the devil? Or is it something else? Keep this question very close at hand, because if you don't know what evil is, you're defending against the wrong thing. You need to know who your target is. Otherwise, you may be attacking one of your own friends. But as Christians, we sometimes struggle with this concept of evil. Sometimes we think that evil is nothing more than something that inconveniences my life. Sometimes we call death being evil. Sometimes we call various forms of temptation evil. But we only have to go so far as the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to find out that when he was born in Bethlehem, he was not given that comfortable life, but yet he is our deliverer. Temptation came upon him in the wilderness. Satan tried to tempt him three times, but he did not give in. And even death. We say our Savior died on the cross. Death cannot be evil then, if through our Savior's death we have the victory over sin, death, and the devil. Very often as Christians, we get these concepts mixed up. We start thinking outside is evil. Whatever may be attacking my comfortable life, whether it be the end of my physical life and I'm getting older, whether it be someone who's trying to take away my possessions or my comfortable living. But true evil is, going back to the Garden of Eden, that tempter, the one who brought sin into this world, who tempted Adam and Eve into sin, who ultimately was defeated when Jesus died on the cross. So as we take a look at evil, I'm going to pick up on three parts of this: the past, the present, and the future. The past, we have to remember that evil was ultimately defeated. When Jesus the Christ came and was born in Bethlehem, he had one goal in the back of his mind, so to speak, one goal driving him forward. That was the defeat of evil. Frodo had to destroy the ring. We'll find out in Book 7. Does Lord Voldemort die? Will he ultimately be destroyed? But for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when he was born in Bethlehem, there was only one outcome. He had to go to the cross. He had to die. He had to be that perfect person so that his death would appease the Father's wrath. So that in his death, all of mankind would be saved. Everyone who believed and trusted in Jesus the Christ has the forgiveness of sins and has eternal life. And so sin is ultimately defeated in our past. But sometimes we don't feel like sin is ultimately defeated. The devil's still on the loose. And we may say, Pastor, what's going on? Well, we have to jump to the future for a moment, just for a glimpse. Yes, Jesus' death on the cross was for the forgiveness of our sins. He defeated sin, death, and the devil. But when he calls us finally to heaven above, well, then we will have the ultimate defeat. Until that time, sin, death, and the devil still exists, so to speak. Their end is a certainty, just as we know that all good series, most of them end with a great antagonist also ending. So as we're reading the sort of our book for life, we have to go even to our past and say, okay, Lord, help me out here. How are you going to give me the strength? And he already has given you the strength. At least for those of you who have been baptized, just like Brady was baptized in our worship service today, you put on Christ, you put on that victory, you have the forgiveness of sin. Sin, death, and the devil has been removed, so to speak. We have that victory. And that's why, as Lutherans, we hang on to this concept of baptism. That's why it's so important for the children to come forward to witness and to see the baptism. It's not something we are ashamed of, but something we are very proud of, because God gives us His gifts, especially the gift of His grace. Because He knows that we have to struggle with sin, death, and the devil. But in our past, He helps us out. And not only in our past, but also in the present. In the present, He helps us out in ways that we don't even realize. As Scripture reminds us, God protects us each and every day. He has messengers. He has angels out there guiding us, protecting us from harm and danger. We don't necessarily see God's army, so to speak, in action. But they're around. Scripture is very clear that if God would withhold His protection, would withhold His power for just 1 hour, even 1 moment, there'd be nothing left. We have to truly realize that God is active in our world. He didn't just create it in 6 days and step back and take a coffee break for the rest of eternity. No. He is actively involved in your life and in my life. The problem comes in, as Christians, we don't always see God's handiwork in action. We don't always see His arm of protection. We go on in our life, day to day, living our routine, and sometimes completely oblivious on how God's grace is still alive and active. Unfortunately, as the Christians, because we don't always see God's hand of grace alive and active, we may think that God has forgotten us, that God has left us, that it might be up to our own self, but God doesn't leave us there. He gives us His word of grace. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says to His disciples and to all of us, "I am with you always." That's an always. He is with us. He is with us always to give us that grace. He is with us always to nurture us, to protect us, to deliver us from evil. But some of you may be saying, "But Pastor, if He is always there, then why is my life so uncomfortable? Why do bad things happen to good people, so to speak?" And I'll go back to the beginning of my sermon to reinforce this point. We labeled the wrong thing as evil. The end of our lives is not evil. The uncomfortableness of this world is not evil. Sin, death, and the devil is evil. See, as the Christians, as we mislabel something, we put up our defenses toward the wrong direction. Needless to say, we have many Christians who are crying out to God, saying, "God, help me, save me, I'm dying here." But you've got to think of it from God's point of view. When our physical life expires, when death finally brings an end to this life of mine, because of Jesus' death on the cross, I know I'm going to be with my Lord and Savior in heaven above. In one essence, this should cause me to rejoice. But when our last hour comes, when we start thinking of death, don't we start getting a gloomy expression on our face? Don't we start feeling sad? Again, we've become attached to the things of this world and not the things of God. We have mislabeled what evil is all about. And now it's time to get refocused. And God refocuses us. He gives us His word for us to draw strength from. He gives us His supper, the very true body and blood of Christ, in with and under that bread and wine to strengthen us, to forgive us our sins. He gives us a community of believers in which we teach God's word and encourage one another in the faith because we need it. Our Lord knows that there are many things that will cause our heart to sorrow. He also knows that there is sin, death, and the devil. But through His word, He's calling us to draw upon Him, to focus upon Him who is the source of our strength, who is with us each and every day. And that's why the psalmist can say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He doesn't fear. He's not alone. God is with him." Can you also say that? When things don't go your way, are you also assured you have a Savior who is with you always in this present time? Even when the hour seems the darkest, our Lord is there to strengthen and to preserve us. Moving from the present to the future, we go back to the past. We go back to the cross and we see our Savior's death for the forgiveness of our sins, and we see His resurrection. We see the empty tomb. We know that there is a future. Even though death may seem to be the end, it's just the beginning. The beginning to eternal life, the beginning to be with our Lord and Savior in heaven above. And finally, when that last hour comes, the ultimate victory has occurred. Just as the ring that Frodo was trying to bring to Mount Doom ultimately was destroyed, and the great antagonist was consumed, and peace was brought back, according to the Lord of the Rings, so likewise, through Christ's death, through our own physical death, we now enter the glory of heaven above, when we will be with our Lord and Savior, where there will be no more pain, There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more frustration. There will be no sin, death, or the devil. Evil will ultimately be destroyed. And as it says in Revelation, the Lamb will be its light. It is following that Lamb that brings us to the light of heaven above, where we will have no more needs, and God provides for all our needs. It is the glorious ending of a beautiful book, the book of our life with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It does have a very pleasant ending because our Savior fulfilled that ending. Now, the Bible isn't a book just to sell a lot of copies, to give its author a lot of royalties. It is truly the book of life. And this is how our life will ultimately end. As Luther reminds us in this seventh petition of the Lord's Prayer, we pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would deliver us from every evil of body and soul, property and honor, and finally, when our last hour comes, grant us a blessed end and graciously take us from, and notice the phrase, this veil of tears. While we're still on this side of heaven and our future is not yet realized, Luther even notes there will be many tears. But after, when we are with our Lord and Savior in heaven above, all the tears will be removed, and we have the blessed end that our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, has promised. Until that time, as Luther puts it, we ask the Lord to keep us in this faith, to encourage us in this faith, and to help us to share this faith, because this is truly, as our world has picked up on, a wonderful story. This story, however, unlike the other ones I've alluded to, is true. It is happening right here and right now. So this is why we come and we gather to teach God's Word. This is why we come and we gather to worship. This is why we come and gather to receive His supper for the strength. And we come and gather to witness God's grace in action as Brady was baptized and now bears the mark of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the mark that will lead him to heaven above. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.